Hi everyone, I'm David Murphy from Mobile Marketing Magazine in conversation today with Tom Bienias, who is Director of Mobile Publisher Development at PubMatic. Tom, good morning to you.
Hi David, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I hope you are too. So Tom, let's have a quick intro to PubMatic as a business, and then I'd like to talk about this programmatic space that you operate in. It's a very broad and complex one, not without issues, lots of challenges around things like ad fraud, brand safety. People like Mark Pritchard calling on the industry to clean its act up. So I'm really interested to know how you feel the industry is doing in this respect. You know, what are you doing as a company and what's the industry doing to clean things up? But just give us a quick starter for 10 on PubMatic before you get into all that, please.
Yeah, sure. So PubMatic are an SSP. We've been in business since 2006. We have 14 offices globally with 9 data centers. And we're headquartered in Redwood City. I guess whereby our legacy business is desktop, display and video, we're very much now heavily focusing in on growing our mobile and connected TV offerings. And a bit of wider context too. So the mobile in-app monetization landscape is changing in a couple of ways. So apps are now moving away from pure waterfall type mediation to more hybrid solutions that utilize both parallel bidding and waterfalls, therefore capturing both traditional performance network spend and brand dollars as well. And on the brand demand side, programmatic strategies tend to get a larger proportion of in-app advertising budgets versus IO and direct campaigns. We're seeing these campaigns transacted via open marketplace, which is your typical buy, but also via PMP and programmatic guaranteed as well.
Okay, that all sounds good. So let's just talk about some of these issues, some of the bad press the industry's had. Talk to that if you would, please.
Yeah, sure. So you touched upon the infamous Mark Pritchard quote from 2017, and three years is an eternity in mobile. And there've been a number of wholesale changes that I think we should delve into here. So we're going to talk about 4 points. These aren't all of the issues, but I think that they most reflect where we're focusing on. So the first is the move to supply path optimization. And all SPO, as it's called, is it refers to an evaluation process of media buying. It simply allows buyers to assess the effectiveness of their supply side partners and identify opportunities for more transparency innovation. We're leading this charge. We've done some really interesting work with the Goodway Group, who have SPO'd. This trend will continue as we go into H2 2020. And it's one that's affecting mobile as well. Secondly, is the IAB-led initiative of OMSDK, or Open Measurement SDK. We're currently on release 1.3, and what OMSDK sets about to do is to lay out a common code that allows viewability partners to communicate regardless of vendor. So for example, if one app is using Moat and a buy-side partner is using Pixelate, they can communicate on viewability metrics. And it's really exciting from our perspective to see this project gathering momentum. I think a recent article written by the Trade Desk really sets this project out. And Trade Desk now buy 30% of their in-app inventory with this parameter. With the latest release, so it's 1.3, marketers can now measure in-app audio ads. This is really encouraging for the emerging podcast sector. So to name but a few, so the likes of Spotify, SoundCloud, Acast can now add an extra depth of metrics to their campaigns. Thirdly, and arguably the third point is a hand-me-down from desktop, is ads text, or in the mobile space, in-app ads.txt. And a recent report from Pixelate, who are a viewability and measurability vendor that we work closely with, show that in the first part of 2019, in-app ads.txt uptake has skyrocketed with an increase of more than 5,000%. From our perspective at PubMatic, it's now mandatory for our publishers to have our file inserted. And that file can either dictate a direct relationship or an indirect relationship.
And just for the uninitiated, Tom, what does ads.txt and in-app ads.txt bring to the party?
Yeah, sure. So it allows, when we bring on a publisher, we add our file. So our file has a publisher ID, and we ask our publishers to upload that onto a website, and it allows DSPs to crawl that list to assess the relationship that the publisher has with the SSP. So it brings in extra transparency, extra accountability, but also it is making steps to move away from domain spoofing, and furthermore, like rebrokering of inventory. So again, it's doing a lot to clean up the supply path. So it kind of links to the first point in many ways.
Yeah, very good. Okay, carry on.
Sure. And the fourth point, again, links back to SPO, and it's the initiation of supply chain objects for OpenRTB and sellers.json, which is just a flip side of ads text. Again, this is a large step towards increased transparency. And what sellers.json does is provide a mechanism to enable buyers to discover who the entities are that are either direct sellers or intermediaries in the selling of digital advertising. Again, this just increases transparency, and it's really making a wave to increase spend and increase that accountability of mobile.
Okay, so those are some industry things. Talk to me a little bit about things specific to PubMatic and what you're doing.
Yeah, so internally we're taking some quite heavy steps as well. So for us on the mobile team and across desktop and video, it's important to work with the right partners, whether that's direct app publishers. We work with just under 300 app publishers direct now. That's gaming apps, news apps, dating apps, or indirectly, and that's single hop. And everything we do in terms of bringing on publishers is vetted by our inventory quality team based in Redwood City. They're super stringent. They use a variety of tools to understand the quality of that inventory. We have a responsibility to provide the right inventory for DSPs. Secondly to that, we launched OpenWrap SDK. Our OpenWrap SDK enables multiple demand sources through S2S or server-to-server bidding technology and is built on pre-bid protocols. And what OpenWrap SDK allows publishers to do is enable seamless access to brands, brand demand, from a number of partners. I think we have about 8 partners integrated with it now. And we're seeing some excellent results from apps using this technology. And thirdly, and finally, we need to, as an SSP, make it easier for DSPs to buy curated inventory. So firstly, we're partnering with certain data providers. I can't name them here because it's still under contract. And we are building out categories for buyers to make it easier to buy from us. So some of these categories we have, as I touched upon, are Open Measurement SDK traffic, traffic that's enriched with certain types of data, directness, so single hop or direct, format. As we know, mobile is one of the benefits of mobile is the number of formats. So whether that format's rewarded video, banner, or interstitial, we have categories for that. And lastly, I guess, content or category of app, type of app.
Okay, so that all sounds pretty encouraging. But I'm sure, you know, this is more of a journey than a destination. So what needs to happen next?
Yeah, there's a number of steps. We're on a journey here. So the industry still needs to continue to focus on quality traffic. Invalid traffic remains a constant issue in the mobile space. The first half of 2019 saw app install fraud alone cost the industry $2.3 billion. If we couple that with the poor reputation that mobile's had in the past of arbitrage, you know, really reselling inventory, buying open marketplace inventory and reselling it back to SSPs, I still think there's a long way to go. And responsibility for this not just relies with us, but it also relies with publishers, it relies with DSPs, data providers, all to convince advertisers that this is a safe place to buy. I think also buyers need to be more stringent on what they're buying. They need to double down on site app lists. They need to focus on transparency. You know, it's all too easy to go for that network buy with, you know, some vanity metrics chucked upon it. I firmly believe that working with fewer partners, fewer SSPs to access inventory is the way to go forward. I also feel, actually, just from the publisher's perspective, that the richness of mobile is often underutilized. And what I mean by this is that, you know, as a mediator or an exchange, and we sit between supply and demand, we need to ensure that the correct parameters are being populated in the ad request. And some of these parameters include app bundle, app store URL, advertising IDs, both the IDFA and GAID, you know, age, keywords, location, lat long, OS, maker, model. And quite often these parameters aren't passed back. So we need to ensure that that richness of bib request is passed to DSPs. And a final point on this is that it's imperative that publishers have a consent management platform properly implemented to ensure compliancy with industry regulations. And there's two big ones, such as GDPR and CCPA. And again, at PubMatic, we consult on this.
Okay, sounds good. And just looking a bit further out, what's a little bit further down the line?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're placed quite closely, obviously, to the desktop side of the business. And what we're seeing there is that the cookie is being phased out. And I believe that this will happen, or the ID, advertising ID, will be depreciated across Apple and Google in the midterm. So that's the depreciation for Android, the GAID, the Google Advertising ID, for iOS, the IDFA, or Identity for Advertisers. And this is my opinion on this. This isn't PubMatic's opinion, but I feel that if I was sitting in Apple's shoes, the way that that ID is ingested, whether it's not deleted when running programmatic campaigns. So if I just take a step back, for retargeting campaigns, often these IDs are ingested. They're molded, they're created into lookalike audiences. These IDs never get deleted. If I was sitting in Apple's shoes, I wouldn't be that happy that the deletion of this data wasn't happening. So what I'm witnessing, what the industry is witnessing in mobile, is a rise of new solutions based on modeling of non-IDs with user privacy at the center of it. We've already started seeing the first wave of DSPs hedging their bets on this shift. And I think there'll be more to come here.
Good. So let's just shift track a little bit. There are tons and tons of stats out there about the time people spend on mobile and, you know, the fact that virtually all of that time is spent in-app. So let's talk specifically about the in-app advertising landscape from the perspective of things like fraud and brand safety, of course, but also just how much enthusiasm is there for brands for advertising in apps and in games. You know, I think brands sometimes have this old school perception of what is premium. You know, premium is the FT or it's the Washington Post. And when you're trying to convince them that actually it might be a game on a mobile phone, I imagine that's quite a tough argument to have. So where do you stand on all that?
Yeah, I think it was a tough argument. I think brands are running in-app and in-games now. It's happening. We're definitely seeing it happen on our platform. We're right in the midst of a shift in the industry, where we now have the tools in place to better measure mobile in-app campaigns, and I touched upon those before. I feel that brands that don't run mobile in the right way will be left behind. And again, I spend a lot of time with agencies, so some of the leading mobile agencies, some of the desktop-focused agencies, and it feels now that everyone is on a mobile path. It's just that some people are further down that path than others. And you've got to bear in mind that, you know, in-app marketing is often a first touch point for many brands. It's part of a much bigger strategy. So it's imperative that the brands use mobile to effectively communicate. Just building on that point, at PubMatic, we're seeing a massive shift on our side. So over 50% of platform spend is now coming from mobile, and this is only set to increase. So that's a mixture of mobile web, mobile in-app. Yeah, and the data supports this. So last year, in the US, $3 billion was spent by advertisers in gaming apps. And it's now more lucrative than music and video combined. Also, more time is spent watching videos and streams on YouTube and Twitch than HBO, Netflix, ESPN and Hulu combined. So the shift is happening. It's just the first movers are starting to make that, to grab that opportunity, I think.
Okay, so you mentioned gaming. Let's just take a bit of a deeper dive into that. Talk to us about.
Yeah, so I mean, there was an interesting study put out from Havas a few days ago about the power of gaming right now, so during the crisis that we're in. So 31% of adult Americans are playing video games, and that's data from across the past 30 days, with the majority of this coming from mobile apps. And the gaming population is vast, and that said, you can't assume that the gamers fall into one homogenous group based on outdated stereotypes. Rather, consider what platforms they play on, the type of games they play, and their motivations for playing. This is really interesting. So my take on this is that brands shouldn't just focus on gamers. They should focus on type of gamers, the platform. And if we split out platforms from console to mobile, the type of app is really important as well. So whether that's a hyper-casual game, more of a casual mid-court, the type of audience that they'll find there is very different. Couple that with format as well, you have a variety of targeting options.
Okay, and where is gaming and in-game advertising heading in the future, would you say?
Yeah, sure. So 5G is on the not-too-distant horizon. There's already been some interesting plays from Google Stadia around cloud-based gaming. I see mobile doing exactly the same thing. So for advertisers, what that'll mean is more seamless ad experiences, potentially richer ad experiences. But ultimately, I think 5G was likely to have more of an impact on hardware, namely that improved connectivity will enable app developers to build games in the cloud, therefore reducing handset size, weight, and significantly increasing battery capacity. With that, there'll probably be a whole range of new advertising app options there for advertisers. So exciting times ahead.
Okay. Now, look, we're having this conversation today, you in your home office, me in mine, as a consequence of the lockdown in the UK and over much of the rest of the world over the coronavirus epidemic. So I'm interested to know what impact it's having on your business, on publishers' businesses, the brands they rely on the demand side. I mean, simply put, you know, most physical retail stores are closed right now, apart from the essential ones. So most retailers, for example, are not running footfall campaigns, trying to drive people in store. So I just wonder how much things have contracted from an advertising perspective since this pandemic hit.
Sure. So the statistics around this are changing daily. It's pretty hard to draw any conclusions. We're in the midst of the crisis. But as we stand, we're speaking in mid-April. So a bit of a snapshot in terms of industry research. So the IAB suggests that between March and June, brands said that they're going to be spending 33% less on digital media, 39% less on traditional media, as the vast majority adjust spending for the first half of the year. 24% of brands paused all their advertising spend for Q1 and Q2, and close to half, 46%, are adjusting their ad spend for the rest of Q1 and Q2. With regards to the app install business, Sensor Tower released some data for the UK suggesting food delivery, remote working, and M-learning apps, so language-based apps, for example, have all increased up to 30% in the past month. So installs are up in that sector. More generally, app installs are poised to reach 140.3 billion. So that's up 22% from 2019. And my take on that is that although more installs, it'd be interesting to see how or what the lifetime value of these users look like. So if I look at PubMatic, our business has shifted. Our internal research, and we released an infographic a few days ago on this, our research shows that there's an increase in ad spend from the following advertisers in these categories. So news, education, hobbies, food, and computer. And there's been a reduction in sports, travel, real estate, and home as people stay in. From a mobile perspective, we've seen an increase in available impressions as more people spend time in apps, session lengths are up, and we've seen a lot of new publishers join the platform as well. For those advertisers or publishers in the categories that have reduced spend significantly, it presents an opportunity for their brand to focus on what it actually means to consumer, to take some time out, perhaps run a brand audit, to take some time and go back to basics. And in fact, I listened to a presentation last week from Skyscanner as part of the App Promotion Summit, and they were doing exactly this. They're taking time to reevaluate their strategy and focusing on the consumer.
Okay, and do you have any sort of sense on, you know, how people feel about being marketed, advertised to, sold to at a time like this? Is it okay for brands and advertisers to, you know, to try to keep a sense of business as usual, even though things are far from normal right now?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, there's no doubt that there's been a significant shift in consumer intent. And therefore, for many brands, there's been an adjustment in marketing strategies. So an analysis of some recent search data from Captify suggests that people pre-crisis were searching for blogs, socializing, fitness, and are now focusing on TV, streaming, social media, and gaming and gambling. And all of those latter categories are categories that can be accessed via a mobile device. So the opportunity to engage new consumers is clearly there. Now, from a consumer level, Global Web Index research shows that 7 in 10 approve of advertising linked to this crisis. Globally, around 50% said they approve of brands running normal advertising campaigns, which aren't linked to coronavirus, only around 20% expressed disapproval, with the rest being neutral. They also see higher approval ratings for brands running campaigns which show how they're responding to coronavirus, helping customers, as well as for contacting customers to let them know that they're responding. And what I see, I think that what we're seeing is brands quickly turn over new ads that incorporate the current situation, often at the expense of you know, creative execution. So I'll give you an example of this, actually, and there seems to be quite a few now on TV and digital. So an example of this was the digital and TV ads run by Asda, featuring their CEO and direct messages from him. They're effectively and clearly turned around clearly overnight. However, on the flip side, I've also noticed numerous poor executions, mainly via email and CRM, sent out from CEOs of companies and hotels that I stayed at more than 10 years ago that clearly lack sincerity and any sort of depth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tom, it's been really interesting talking to you, but you know, in summary, if we assume, as we all want to and have to, that things are going to return to normal one day sooner or later, how does your industry, the programmatic industry, best sort of pick up the pieces and get back on track?
Yeah, so we need to continue to focus on the right things. Advertisers need to work closer with the apps and inventory. They need to ensure the inventory is direct. They need to understand the supply path to that inventory. We need to continually educate. We need to partner closer with viewability and measurability vendors. And publishers and demand side platforms should demand OMSDK now as an industry standard. Thirdly, we need to ensure that bid requests truly represent the inventory. It's up to us to provide the richest possible bid request so that mobile truly reflects the parameters that can be passed. And finally, for us at PubMatic as an SSP, we need to continue to maintain trust and transparency.
Sounds good. So, Tom, it's been great to talk. If anyone wants to connect with Tom on LinkedIn, he is, as I mentioned, Tom Bienias. And I'm going to spell that for you just because it would help if you're trying to find him. Bienias. Tom is Director Mobile Publisher Development at PubMatic and a very knowledgeable chap. And Tom, it's been very, very good company talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation and let's do it again soon.
Thanks, David. Take care.
Take care yourself. So that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've enjoyed it. Head over to mobilemarketingmagazine.com for more great mobile marketing content. For now, have a great day.